Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Whether you're looking to start a career with no student loans or change careers to land one of the happiest jobs in the world, yep, that's construction, Build Mississippi can help. Visit buildmississippi.com to learn why a career in the trades deserves another look. buildmississippi.com. Your future is waiting.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Yes, yes, I know. There's a baseball game going on literally right now. But if I'm being transparent with you, I did not want to stay up until the end of this one before we went live. So we will react to it. Hopefully the game will end by the time we are done here. If not, I still have some thoughts on what is happening so far and what this baseball game means. So we'll get to it. I know it's happening right now. Your minds are probably focused on that. But I saw the worst take on Lane Kiffin and his roster building strategy at Ole Miss that I have ever seen, and I'm going to read it to you, and we are going to talk about it, and of course, get to your comments as well, like we always do on this Tuesday edition, with baseball going on in the background of Rebel Report Live. I'm glad you guys are here. My name is Michael Borky. Again, I appreciate you being here. If you're here live, thank you, because again, I know baseball is going on right now. At this moment, it is Southern Miss has a 5-4 lead in the bottom of the sixth. So that is where we are starting. For those of you that are listening after the fact, that is where we began. So let's get into it. But first, I want to tell you that, my name is Michael Borky. Follow me, social media, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And wherever you get your podcast, if you are listening to this on the website at supertalk.fm, or if you're watching live on YouTube, subscribe to the podcast, pull out your phone, use your favorite podcast app. All of your phones have a podcast app built in. I would recommend Spotify myself, but they all work. Search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And this edition of the Rebel Report is brought to you by, presented by the Gregory Law Firm. We all know that in sports, especially in college sports, injuries are unavoidable. They happen over the course of a season, but they should not happen to you. But sometimes they do. If you have been personally injured, or if you have a small business or contract dispute, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm in Saltillo, Mississippi, has got you covered. Again, personal injury, if you get hurt, personal injury, or small business and contract disputes, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm in Saltillo has you covered. Remember this number, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. Don't delay. Call DJ today. We both hope that you don't need to use his services, but that day may come, so save that phone number. The Gregory Law Firm presenting the Rebel Report Live. So, I'm going to do one thing first. I'm going to put a qualifier on this. I am not going to call a writer out personally. I will tell you where you can find this if you want to read it yourself, but I'm not in the game of like calling somebody out by name. I don't want to do that. Look, what I'm in the content business. This person's in the content business. We miss the mark. I miss the mark all the time. It happens. You know, you swing and miss. You have takes that are bad. You have takes that are good. You have predictions that fall flat. You have predictions that you absolutely nail. It happens sometimes. This guy missed the mark. I think he missed the mark badly. It's the worst thing I've seen. Worst commentary on Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss football that I've ever seen. But I'm not going to name the guy. Lane Kiffin did tweet the article himself. If you want to find it and read it, you can find it there. But this is truly, it's awful. And then what we're going to do is we're going to expand on it and explain how awful this truly is. So this was in an article. Again, Lane Kiffin tweeted it. It was about how Josh Heupel in Tennessee need to be thankful for Lane Kiffin because Ole Miss is getting all the hype and the attention, And Tennessee is not, and that's good for Tennessee because they always perform better when they're being overlooked, which, by the way, is a thing that, like, every fan base in America thinks about their team. Well, the team, I like when we start the season not ranked because we always play better when we're not ranked, and it's good that we're not. No, it just means your expectations are lower, and so you're not as disappointed. You don't remember when your team started out unranked and then they didn't play well because you had low expectations. If you see that so often, and it's never really rooted in reality. Preseason hype doesn't impact the outcome of seasons. Ole Miss in 2009 underachieved because they weren't good enough. It's not because they were ranked number four on a Sports Illustrated cover. It's because Houston Nutt was their coach. You know, it's the attention that Ole Miss is getting this offseason, the preseason ranking and stuff like that, is not going to impact the outcome of their season. What they do on the field is going to impact the outcome of their season. Nothing I say here or nothing that gets published is going to alter actual games. Now, can they handle the pressure? That's a question, but that's internal pressure. That's not preseason hype pressure. That's internal expectation. That's team and program expectations, not national expectations. Two different things. But anyway, so during the course of this article, this paragraph was written. Ole Miss, on the other hand, is receiving playoff hype largely because of the additions they made from the NCAA transfer portal. The Rebels have a playoff caliber roster, and they have a playoff caliber coach in Kiffin. But the way their roster has been built isn't exactly sustainable. No one knows where the future of the transfer portal, NIL, is headed. Will it slow down eventually? Maybe, maybe not. But depending on the portal as a long-term solution to roster construction probably isn't a wise idea. High school recruiting, on the other hand, will always be the primary way to build a roster. So let's break that down a little bit. First, on the words themselves. So the argument is that Ole Miss is receiving playoff hype because Ole Miss has a playoff caliber roster. But the way they built the roster isn't sustainable. So they have Ole Miss has a roster that is playoff caliber, but it was built in an unsustainable way. But anyway, so on one hand, they have a playoff roster. On the other, the way they built it is bad. But also, no one knows what the future is going to look like. Will it slow down? I don't know. But depending on the portal, is not a good idea. High school recruiting is an idea, even though Ole Miss has a playoff caliber roster building through the portal, and nobody knows what the future holds, but high school is the way because reasons. And they were not expanded on in any way. The transfer portal started in 2018, but the penalty-free transfers began in 2021. So it's the portal in its form, as we understand it today, is 3 years old, not 6 years old. It almost has been dependent rather heavily on the transfer portal to build their roster. And in those 3 years, 3 years, by the way, in those 3 years, Ole Miss has won more games than everybody in the SEC not named Alabama and Georgia. That includes Texas and Oklahoma in a worse conference. So they have more wins in the 3 years of the true portal era than everybody in the SEC not named Alabama and Georgia. That's 13 programs in the SEC have won fewer games at Ole Miss in the 3 years of the portal era. They've also been in two Access Bowls, and they broke a single season program record for wins, and that was in the third year of this. So if the question, or that's not even a question, the statement was building through the portal isn't sustainable. That was the statement that was made. Ole Miss is winning in ways that they never have before in the modern era, post-integration. Never won like this consistently in the history of the program post my father being born. how can you possibly declare that roster building through the transfer portal is not sustainable when Ole Miss has won more than everybody not named Georgia, Alabama in ways that they never have in their program's history? How can you declare this isn't sustainable when the whole thing that Ole Miss has done in the portal era is sustained? Help me out with that. And you guys have told me that Josh Pate has even questioned the sustainability of what Ole Miss has done, but we're 3 years in. This isn't year one. This is year four of this. What do you mean that this is not sustainable when this is the most sustained success that Ole Miss has ever had since my father was born? I'm going to keep using that. The modern era of college football. They've never been this sustained. They've never had sustained success like this. Frankly, I think it's still too early to make declarative statements one way or the other, but it's certainly totally just rear end backwards to suggest that what they're doing, the way they're doing it, is wrong. Especially now when you're seeing that the restrictions on transfers is non-existent. There aren't restrictions on them. So building through high school and not utilizing the portal is, at least in my opinion, a goofy way to go about this, unless you are a Georgia or an Nick Saban's Alabama, unless you're a Georgia who can sign the best high school players in the country on an annual basis. But even Georgia supplements their roster with portal players. Even Ohio State supplements their roster through portal players. Texas, who just played in the playoff. Washington, who just played in the playoff. Everybody that's having success in the transfer portal that is not Georgia, or everybody that's having success in college football that is not Georgia, is doing so through this avenue. Not only is the way Kiffin and Ole Miss building their team sustainable, I think it's the only way that Ole Miss can win in this era. Again, not only is it sustainable, but I think this is the only way. Because as I said from the beginning of this, because we had radio listeners that were terrified of this, that, oh, this is going to bury, that, you know, that this is a bad strategy and it's not going to work because this thing right here, the you have to build through high school. If you are trying to play Georgia's game, you're going to lose. If you're Ole Miss and you're trying to play Georgia's game, you're going to lose. But if you try to do things a little bit differently, you can level the playing field. And over the last 3 years, all Ole Miss football has done from a talent perspective is elevate their capability to compete at the highest level. Are they Georgia yet? No. We saw what happened last year in Athens. But is Ole Miss in a position among the rest of college football that they have not been in consistently since my father was born? Absolutely. So questioning the strategy, calling it unsustainable and wrong, is so goofy when Ole Miss is doing things they've never done before. And not only that, this fella argued against himself. So the team's really good, the roster's really good, but also the way they built it is bad. It just makes no sense at all. The worst take on how Ole Miss is going about, how Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss are going about their business in football that I have ever seen. There is no way to know if high school is the right way, or there's no way to know if portal heavy is the right way. But I know the strings that Lane Kiffin is pulling are the correct ones. The strings that Steve Sarkisian is pulling are the correct ones. And the strings that Kirby Smart is pulling are the correct ones. It's almost like different schools and resources and ability and strategies call for different approaches. College football is not a one-size-fits-all. It's not anywhere close to a one-size-fits-all. So trying to pigeonhole that makes absolutely no sense at all. Southern Miss, by the way, now has a 7-4 lead in the top of the seventh. Ole Miss is going to need to kind of giddy up a little bit if they're going to win this one. I'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. That's the website. absms.com. That's the website. If you're in the market for office technology and your Mississippi business is located anywhere in Mississippi, tell them I sent you. Get a complimentary office technology assessment. So Advantage Business Systems, absms.com for all of your office technology needs. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. With 16 locations scattered across the state of Mississippi, there's very likely one in your backyard. They make you their priority with their online banking platform. It is a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Got politely asked to leave. This is the first message of the night. Got politely asked to leave the game about 20 minutes ago for being, quote, too loud, end quote. What? I need to hear more. I need to hear more. Because, what? Especially considering the prices of the tickets today. There were football ticket prices for the baseball game there in Hattiesburg tonight. I even brought up on the show a little bit, like, how many football games in the entire state, including Ole Miss and State, because the get in the door price tonight was $80 to get in the door. How many football games, Ole Miss, State, Southern Miss combined, would have a get in the door price cheaper than that? And what I landed on for Ole Miss, all of Southern Miss's football games, the get in the door price will be cheaper than $80. All of them. For Ole Miss, I think it will be only the non-conference games. All of the SEC games will have a more expensive get-in-the-door price than that. But for State, I mean, all of the non-conference games, Arkansas won't have a get-in-the-door price that high. There's a chance Missouri doesn't have a get-in-the-door price that high. So baseball tonight in Hattiesburg was an expensive ticket. And I need to hear more about you getting kicked out, because what the absolute what the heck? You saw betting odds that have to win the SEC championship, Georgia at plus 150. Frankly, I think that's a safe bet. I think it's the best roster in the SEC. They have a veteran, experienced quarterback. The coaching staff is really quite good. I mean, you saw them. They're a machine. They're a wagon. They've even filled some holes. Not many, because they haven't had to because of how they recruit. But I mean, they've even portaled well. It's the best team in the SEC. There's not even a debate. Anybody else, frankly, getting a first place vote in the SEC at Media Days, I think would be wrong. I know that you're going to have some arguments for Texas, but I think Texas lost too much. I really need to hear an extremely strong argument in favor of Texas to get a vote preseason SEC champion. Nothing else besides Georgia makes logical sense to me at all. What's up from Alabama? Good to see you, James. Got your phone handy watching me on the big screen. Awesome deal. Appreciate that, man. Hope that you're not watching baseball right now. Don't really see Ole Miss punting that much this year because of the offense clicking. The only thing stopping this Ole Miss offense is injuries. Knock on wood. And then, as we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago, I can't remember, it's all running together, but the offensive line acclimating is something that I'm concerned about. Not concerned about, that's the wrong word. Curious about. These guys got to go through a spring together. That's awesome. As I said a couple weeks ago, that's a big deal that they all got to go through spring together. You're not relying on a guy coming in and joining the team right now. They at least have gotten to play together. And, I mean, no transfers out, really. That's amazing. The depth that they're going to have on the offensive line is awesome. They can sustain a temporary injury or two, and you still have some guys that started for last year's Ole Miss team that are not going to start on this one. I mean, that they got really good depth there. So acclimation is the only thing I'm worried about there, or wondering about there. Otherwise, you're right. I mean, experienced veteran wide receiver core, third-year quarterback, fourth-year starting in college football, only 21 years old, but third-year quarterback in this system, really good depth at tight end now, frankly. You've got two really experienced Power Five guys, and hopefully Hudson Wolf will be healthy finally again for you. I mean, that would be great for him. He's just battled through it. But anyway, a pair at least of really useful tight ends. The running back room, I think they're still kind of lacking the bruiser, although Diggs can be that if he gets healthy enough in time, which most people think he'll be. There's no reason for this offense to not be elite, and I'm not using that word hyperbolically. I mean, there's really no reason for this Ole Miss offense to not be an elite one in college football. Well, Craig, I appreciate you too, man. Thanks for all the content. Appreciate you. You are the best, my friend. Thank you. Jackson Dart getting a lot of hype. I think it helps him get more motivated. He's earned it. I mean, he's absolutely earned it. The only thing, as we've talked about before, I really would like him to get out of bounds, slide, protect his body. He's got to protect his body. That's the only thing, not the only thing, but that's the biggest thing standing in between Jackson Dart and getting the national accolades that I think he deserves is his health. There's some other things that he can improve on for sure. Middle of the field can get better. It's not as bad as people say it is, but it can get better. He did protect the football much better this past season than he did in 2022. But there's very little standing in his way. Another step forward in improvement, and he'll leave Ole Miss as an all-time great. Odds to win the SEC, Georgia plus 185, Texas plus 310, Ole Miss plus 650, Bama plus 950, LSU plus 1,000, Tennessee plus 1,100, Missouri plus 1,500. Oh boy, LSU's going to get some hype. I saw Ryan Brown, who I like a lot, put LSU number 9 and Ole Miss number 12 in his preseason rankings. And next time I get the chance to talk to him, I'm going to ask him what he sees in LSU, because I that makes no sense to me at all. LSU ahead of Tennessee right now makes no sense to me, frankly. Makes no sense to me at all. Any good bets to win the SEC in my mind? I mean, if you're talking about value, Texas at plus 310 is good value. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's good value. I mean, hell, Ole Miss at plus 650 is good value if you don't break the bank on it. You know, a little tiny bit of money as a flyer, plus 650 is good odds for a team that has the roster that Ole Miss has. But no, I think that the SEC is a 1.5 horse race this year, frankly. According to said writer, we should just build rosters like Dabo. Yeah. You prefer to recruit high school players, typically without coaching change. Teams keep 90% plus of players. However, if you're not a blue blood, transfer portal is a fine option. I mean, I think it would be goofy not to at least use it, maybe not at Ole Miss's level, but the state of Mississippi, while it produces really high-quality high school players, not enough of them. You share the state with another SEC school. LSU's right down the road. Alabama's right down the road. It's tough to recruit Mississippi. Ole Miss has done a really nice job since Golding has arrived at recruiting Mississippi. They've done well, but it's a tough state to recruit. There's a lot of SEC teams close by. There's not blanket loyalty here like you see in other states. It's tough to do. And some of the prospects are not ready-made in Mississippi as they are in some other places. So you have to supplement it somehow. And how do you do that? Portal. That's how you do it. I'm sure Kiffin would love to recruit the way that Kirby does, but I don't think he can. And that's okay, because the way they're doing it is building a roster that I don't think that they would have trying to do it Kirby's way. You prefer to have a solid top 20 class plus the transfer portal. Maybe they can get a few 5-stars. Yeah, and see, if you look at their roster acquisition or their talent acquisition, high school was good. They did high school and portal extreme, like very, very well. Top 20 high school class. I don't know how the February window shook out, but top 20 high school class, number one portal class. That screams a Wes Rucker type article. In fairness to Wes, he's a better writer than that, but Ole Miss can sustain at 8-plus wins through the portal. They do have 30-plus major players in their last year of eligibility. They aren't going to be a preseason top five every year through the portal without high school recruits. That's true, but they're not going to be a preseason top five team every year anyway. I mean, they're not. It's just not a realistic ask. But we're talking about, I mean, not to be condescending, but we're talking about Ole Miss here. You know, it's you are still building. You're still trying to build your foundation. You're still trying to raise your floor. Your floor is different than LSU and Alabama and Georgia and Texas and Oklahoma. They've had more resources, and they still have more resources, although not everybody's as organized and stuff in NIL as Ole Miss is, but their floors are higher. So right now you're still building floor. And as you're building floor, you still can't try to do it the way Georgia does. But not many people try to do it the way Georgia does anymore because of the abundance of talent that exists in the transfer portal. You've got guys that are at Mac and Mountain West and Sunbelt schools that blossom into great players that can play in the SEC. Not trying to get those guys. Like, for example, if Ole Miss is able to lock down, his name's escaping me, so I'm pulling it up. I'm stalling a little bit just to make sure I say it correctly. Khalil Jacobs, the South Alabama linebacker. You know that he can play. The Khalil Jacobs, the high school recruit, there's hundreds of Khalil Jacobs high school recruits out there. And you don't know that they're going to be able to help you, but you know he can. So not seizing the opportunity to take on guys that have developed at a lesser school is, I think it's crazy not to use this as a resource, especially as you're still trying to build your floor. Guaranteed, if Tennessee had the success Ole Miss has in the last three seasons, this guy would have a different tone on that. 100%. Absolutely 100%. What approach should a program take? Classic law school response, it depends. And that, my friends, I think is DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm presenting the Rebel Report. Appreciate you, DJ. But yeah, it does depend. It different places call for different things. Southern Miss usually puts up a fight. They do. It's a good, tough program. It is a good, tough program. Seems to be a narrative that you have to either portal or recruit high school. Those aren't exclusive. In this era, what separates staffs is the ability to recruit well in high school and enhance through the portal. And that is exactly what Ole Miss did this year. They did it in all three phases because you have to keep the guys that you want to keep too, right? It's not just bringing players in. Because your players can leave anytime they want. So it's roster building is now threefold. It is sustaining, keeping the players that you want, right? It is high school recruiting and portal recruiting. It's all three of those things now because guys can leave whenever they want. Ole Miss did an exceptional job, by and large, at keeping the guys they wanted to keep, recruiting high school. Look at their defensive line class. Just look at their defensive line class alone, but recruiting a top 20 high school class and also getting the number one transfer portal class. They did all three aspects of roster building extremely well. They did. So questioning them at this point is a little bit goofy. The sarcasm dripping here. I love it. Yeah, let's not take a risk on older, more developed players via the portal, but take all the risks on underdeveloped true freshmen. Exactly. So you were antagonizing a little bit. You say you got free tickets, but apparently the term mustard buzzard is offensive to a certain fan base, so they reported me to the Rent-A-Cops. You still shouldn't get kicked out for that, but you were poking the bear a little bit there, Pat. You were poking a little bit. Any word on the linebacker from South Alabama or Tyler Barron? Nothing on Tyler Barron. The aforementioned South Alabama linebacker was visiting, I believe, today and down to Ole Miss in Alabama, which, by the way, is pretty incredible if you think about it, because Alabama's defensive coordinator is his former head coach at South Alabama. And apparently Kane Womack is really well respected and really well liked in the industry. But the fact that that happened, his coach is now at Alabama and he's still deeply considering Ole Miss. And if he chooses Ole Miss instead of Alabama, that's amazing. If you think about it, considering what Alabama has at their disposal, his former head coach. So he would be a really nice pickup, quality player. And I mean, I like what they have in the linebacker room, but you know, the depth would just be, championship contending level if they keep adding somebody like that. Thoughts on the College Football 25 cover conversation? I get it. It's fine. The cover athlete thing doesn't bother me like it does some people. I know there are people that were bothered to see Judkins on there. And frankly, doesn't that just speak to college football right now that a player, a third-year player, is on the cover of the college football video game wearing a jersey that he's never worn before? I mean, doesn't that sum it up nicely? It really does. But no, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Frankly, I don't know when I'm going to be able to play the game. I've got the old Xbox, and I don't know if I'm dropping $600 to play a college football video game. I'm not sure if I'm down for that yet. So we'll see when that day comes. Tuned in now because the Mustard Buzzards are about to kick that rear end. Yeah, bottom eight right now, 7-4. But here's the thing. So while I know, you know, you want to win every game you play, especially against a team within your own state, you want to beat Southern Miss. You did earlier in the year. But, you know, this is why I said, by the way, on Sunday, when people are doing the don't let them get hot thing, when it's just two games, after losing to Auburn and Murray State, you need to just pump the brakes a little bit and see what happens after that. A two-game winning streak is nothing, really. So if they end up losing this one, it would feel like the momentum has been sucked right out of the sails again because they didn't play particularly well on Sunday, and then losing to Southern Miss in this manner would not be great. But this game doesn't really matter when it comes to the postseason. And, oh boy, that bothered a couple Southern Miss fans when I said it on the show yesterday, but it's true. Losing this game is not going to affect them really in the metrics that much. Those are all fine. Their quad one wins are fine. More than fine. They're really good. The RPI is perfectly fine. The only thing holding them back is conference wins. They don't have enough at the moment. And if they get two in Baton Rouge, they're going to play in the postseason. I think it's really that simple. You probably don't want to, now that you've lost tonight, don't want to go one and out in Hoover. So maybe that's what tonight can mean, is it makes Hoover a little bit more interesting, I suppose. But it was always going to be about this weekend and what happens this weekend for them. So, you know, tonight, again, if it ends this way, which it may not, but if it ends this way, then it's a momentum killer. But, I mean, look at some of the mound choices that Mike Bianco made tonight. I think that kind of tells you something. They needed to save some arms for this weekend, because this weekend is what matters. Didn't even turn the game on tonight. Wasn't worth the time. Oof. Joke's on them. Most of the fans complaining were wearing merch I made, so they paid my bonus. Attaboy. The only way I see the Ole Miss offense not clicking is Dart's health. I understand he came into camp a little heavy. We need him mobile and healthy and good shape. He'll be fine. He'll be absolutely fine. You know, he's coming off of an ankle procedure or a lower leg procedure, so probably wasn't able to work out as much as he would have liked to. And no, but he'll be in fine shape. They'll take care of that. I'm certainly not worried about that. I think it's all with him. I am far less concerned about his weight than I am him protecting his body. I think that his injuries often are a result of, look, the toughness, the gritty play, but he can do a better job of protecting himself. A&M has done some work in the portal as well. Yes, they have. They did a really good job. They're a team that I think is going to surprise some people this year. Not compete for a playoff spot or anything like that. They're not a championship team, I don't believe. But I think they're going to be better than a lot of people think that they're going to be. I mean, I've heard some people say that they're going to have to fight for a bowl game. I don't see that. I see a pretty talented roster and a healthy quarterback and better coaching staff, and I think they're going to be tough. People that are just discounting A&M. Oh, yeah, we'll beat A&M. I hear some of that around here. I don't agree. I don't agree at all. I say unfortunately, maybe not unfortunately, maybe luckily, considering what I just said. No A&M on Ole Miss's schedule this year, although you'd rather have A&M than Georgia. But, yeah, I do hear some of that. Oh, yeah, we'll beat A&M. Are you sure? Are you sure about that? Can't wait to hammer the under 9.5 on LSU. Me either. I know some people who are LSU fans, and, man, they get super offended when I question their team or Brian Kelly. Hit dog hollers, as they say. You think this year you will see more design pass plays and less RPOs? That's why I see this offense being different than the past under Kiffin. That wouldn't surprise, especially as we've talked about before. I think you might see a little bit more conservatism when they sustain a lead because, or when they get a lead, because I think they're going to be able to do that. I think that they're going to have the offensive line and the tight end play and the weapons, and now they've got a really talented running back room as well that won't require them to just be wide, you know what, open. How's the math on odds? If you put $25 on Ole Miss at plus 650, if they won, how much would I win? So the plus 650 is if you bet $100, you would win 650. So 25 is 1/4 of 100. So 650 divided by 4 is $162. Right? And that. Hold on. Now I'm questioning myself. I'm going to double check this for you. I feel like an idiot right now. This is why I need somebody else in the studio to immediately bounce things off of. But, you know, it's just me and he can't help me much. Let's see. Yes, I was right. 162. I was right. I should never question myself. Ole Miss is about to get shafted in the first two games regarding TV placement. Furman screams 1:30 to 3 o'clock, SEC Network Plus, ESPN Plus game. Well, luckily, Ole Miss will get to pick the streaming game time. And I've heard that will be a night game. I don't know if I don't know if this is true yet. I heard today, though, that the Furman game will be at night. I haven't been able to verify that with anybody at Ole Miss. It's just kind of rumor mill grapevine stuff. But I have heard that the Furman game will kick off at night if in fact they do get the streaming assignment. So Kiffin is not one to bulldoze opponents like Kirby Smart can or does. So many games over the last few years where a 14-70 point victory is enough. Vandy is a team you think of. For sure. And yeah, Ole Miss can put Furman wherever they want if they get the streaming game. Now, the only question is, will that be the streaming game? It's going to be. But there are six FCS games in the SEC in week one. going back to the banner I put up, Kiffin has been building something, so I wouldn't bet against him at this point. It would be stupid to bet against him at this point. Glad to see DJ here. Yeah, I'm glad to see him too. He's only blitzed a small handful of teams since he's been here. Most of the games that aren't competitive, the team gets stagnant or boring just to get it over with. They absolutely shut it down from a play calling and scheme perspective. They 100% shut it down. Absolutely, that happens. 100% that happens. Judkins wouldn't have been on the cover if he was still at Ole Miss. I actually agree with that. I actually do agree with that. Isn't that stupid? But I agree. Still holding out on seeing what the content and gameplay of the game will be. Madden sucks, and it's the same company making college football. Now we switch the super chats from the curtain rod to getting me a new Xbox. No, please do not do that. The curtain. Oh, thank you, Brandon. Appreciate you, my friend. PTG Outdoors, fishy line of the week on the radio show, and just an overall good dude. And just obviously a big supporter of Ole Miss, but overall good guy. Thank you for your super chats. I really, really appreciate that. They will not be going towards an Xbox. They will not be going towards an Xbox at all. Thank you. But thank you a lot. The Curtain Rod Collective, though, that's still alive and well. But yeah, I am not at a point yet where I think I can justify paying that much money for a game system. But I loved playing, like, I love video games at the same time. So I don't know. Going to get your graphic designer to work on the Curtain Rod Collective logo. That would be actually kind of fun just to have some merch that like only 10 people would understand what it means. Having some like, you know, koozies and, you know, shirt or something. That'd be kind of cool. But anyway, you wouldn't be surprised if A&M won 9 games. That you think they can be better than LSU? I think they will be better than LSU. If they win 8 or 9 games, could it be that Kelly isn't a great fit for the SEC? It could be that. I can't help but wonder if they need to get their rear ends in gear, if they need to get their asses in gear when it comes to NIL. What if they're not as organized as other people are? Because like we talked about before, I promise you, they didn't get defensive linemen not because of a moral stance. I promise. No matter what they say. So, anyway, Ole Miss loses to Southern Miss. Momentum. See, you know. Anyway, I don't know if it's a momentum killer, but I do think that what happens this weekend is really all that matters. Win two, don't go 1-out in Hoover, and you should be okay. You should be okay even if you just win two, but win 2 plus 1 in Hoover and you guarantee it. I don't know if tonight's going to hurt that much, but it does kind of make you wonder, you know? Who do I think will be the next head coach at Arkansas? That's a good question. John Sumrall. Wait, the new Xbox is only $300? I thought it was $600. That's good to know. It all depends on Thursday. If they lose Thursday, they'll probably go 1-2 or worse. Yeah, I kind of agree. Since we older folks had to wait years for college football on any system for nostalgia, they should release it on PS2 for us. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, like, my Xbox is fine. Like, it works fine. It runs really big games on it. Why does the new college football game not work on it? It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me at all. But, oh well, whatever. We will talk, Thursday, there's a baseball game. We'll talk Thursday after the baseball game. That's what we'll do. We'll still go live. It'll just be – we'll wait till the end of the baseball game on Thursday. I'll stay up for that one. I will stay up for that one. And we'll go live when it's over. So appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Please like the video, all that good stuff. DJ Gregory at the Gregory Law Firm. Check him out if you need contract disputes, small business claims, or personal injury. And thank you guys for being here. Thank you, my friend Brandon, for the super chats, and all of you guys for being here. You guys are absolutely awesome. Who's more likely to be hiring a new coach in 2025, Arkansas or Florida? Arkansas, more likely than Florida, I think. I think there's a path for Billy Napier to keep his job. Florida athletics is a bit of a mess right now, quite frankly. They're a bit of a mess right now. So, anyway, you guys, again, you guys are the best. I appreciate you. And I'll see you on Thursday after the game on Thursday night. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Mid-Delta Auction Company is holding a spring equipment auction Thursday, March the 20th from their location across from Cannon Motors in Greenwood. Visit mdauction.com for more information. That's mdauction.com. We'll see you there.